Articles by Fearlessly Courageous from the desk of Dennis Piller. The great Joshua slipped because he was moved by what he saw. Part 2. Be on guard. If you recall the story from yesterday about Joshua, the Gibeonites pretended to be from a distant land and came to Israel because they heard all of what Joshua's God had done in Egypt. In Joshua 9, they told him they had journeyed all the way to make a league or a treaty with Israel to become allies. Joshua and his council believed the deception and the people were not killed because the Israelite community had given an oath in the name of God, verses 18. And through the Gibeonites are protected, they were condemned to be hewers of wood and drawers of water. And they were cursed, verses 21. The problem was God had told Joshua not to make an alliance with anyone. They were not to align themselves with non-Israelites. The lesson for us is that the devil is deceptive and will use anything to convince God's people to compromise. He is sly and seeks to sneak up on believers. He uses subtle ways to draw us from the things of God. Christians today need to remember that Satan will probably not try to get us to deny the entire Bible. He's much more content to entice us to compromise in small ways. He tempts us to keep a little corner of our lives just for ourselves. Many compromise on who they date and or who they marry. One defeat does not lose the battle. And one victory does not win the war. Joshua did not seek the counsel of God and thus failed to see the truth. It seems to be an obvious omission, but how easily do we fall into the same trap? Paul reminds us that the devil blinds people's eyes to their need for the gospel, but he also seeks to blind believers, keeping them from turning their eyes to God. See 2 Corinthians 4:4. We never arrive at the place where we don't need to read the Bible, pray, commune with God. The devil seemingly tries to blind us most when we are trying our hardest. Charles Spurgeon knew the pull of prayerlessness and warned his seminary students, "When your soul becomes lean, your hearers, without knowing how or why, will find that your prayers in public have little savor for them. They will feel your barrenness, perhaps before you perceive it yourself. Your discourses will next betray your declension. You may utter as well chosen words and as fitly ordered sentences as before, but there will be a perceptible loss of spiritual force." Isn't it a similar mindset that Samson had regarding his prowess, his strength? Do you remember in Judges 16 that after Delilah's barbaric treachery, Samson woke from his sleep after she had cut his hair, saying to himself, "I'm going to go out like other times and shake myself free." But unbeknownst to him, he went out alone. I know you see where I'm going here. How regrettable are these prayerless actions and petitionless seasons? We go out as before in that same Samson mindset, expecting God to be with us as before, not knowing that he has withdrawn his blessings. The truth is the temptation of self-sufficiency had regarding his prowess, his strength. It had overcome us, and we're left with the dry and crumbly bread of our disobedience, Joshua 9. And our loving Father, who gave us freedom, will let us take a few steps on our own and draw up this treaty of business plan without him. But before very long, we are barreling forth on our own wisdom and energy to the injury of ourselves and others. And yes, God gives us more grace, but the cuts and bruises and injuries to ourselves and those around us still hurt. Joshua and the elders of Israel trusted their eyes, forgetting to look to God in prayer for help with what their eyes could not see. Will we learn from them? Will we be willing to live in our service, looking to our Heavenly Father even in seemingly small matters? The Bible gives us many examples of men who went with their own judgment of what seemed clearly obvious without first seeking God. Look at Jesus. If anyone could judge with his eyes, if anyone could change or charge out as before, if anyone could say, next year I'll go out in such and such a town and do this or that, it was the God-man Jesus. But look at John 5:19. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, or whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. And all Jesus did in choosing his disciples and teaching in the synagogue, or when he stopped along the road, his eyes never left his Father. He inquired of his Father at every step, even the bloody one that led up Golgotha's hill. Not my will, but your will be done. I know that each of us wishes for a life exactly like that, looking to Jesus in all matters, being seemingly small. As we enter into this new season, may I urge each of you to humble yourselves and then with childlike faith, rush to see our Father even for the smallest request or even as an excuse to just go to him. Greg Morris said, Jesus' gracious throne of health is as near as a single Godward thought about me or even a desperate glance. Why did God tell Joshua to be strong and courageous? He was under enormous pressure, and God offered these encouraging words. So are we today walking in a wicked world of endless temptations? We need that same encouragement. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. God was calling Joshua to lead by following. He needed Joshua to courageously trust that God was in control. I pray you're willing to rethink your thinking and humble yourself by asking God throughout your day, Lord, talk to me, give me wisdom, and help me to see with spirit eyes. Amen. I pray you make it a Jesus-filled day.